And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco here bringing you the fourth installment of The Blue Line, talking everything NHL hockey. And there is much to speak about as we are right in the thick of the conference semifinals. And first and foremost, obviously, we like to start off every edition of The Blue Line with some local talk, and obviously a lot to talk about with the Philadelphia Flyers and their matchup with the New Jersey Devils, the Turnpike rivalry, as it were.
Right, and down the Turnpike.
Yeah, right. This is not a lot of travel in this series, obviously.
Yeah, short bus rides.
Very short. So lots to talk about here, and obviously last night's game, a little bit different from what the Flyers were used to, I think, you know, with the Flyers eliminating the Penguins, and the Penguins really not playing much defense at all. And then you come up across the Devils team who just went to seven games with the Florida Panthers and were able to squeak out of that. Not a lot of turnaround time for the Devils, and it kind of showed yesterday in yesterday afternoon's game.
Yeah, I think you definitely saw that in the third period. The legs were just weren't there for some of the Devils. You know, I think it went as expected in the series. You knew the Flyers coming off long layoffs, notorious this year for being just flat. And they were flat. They were awful in the first period.
They were terrible.
They were terrible. I was a little surprised how quickly they turned it around, though. I think the intensity of playoffs, the fans kind of got them right back in it, and not being down a great amount going into the second or third period, you know, knowing they'd be in it, got them going, and they just you know, I think that the invigoration of having fresh legs from Van Riemsdyk, who had a pretty good game, kind of helped that as well.
Do you think he's going to be the same Van Riemsdyk that he was last year, that really like made the name for himself? I mean, I know he's coming off the concussion injury, and we don't know if he's really 100%. Who is 100% at this point
right
in the playoffs? Nobody really is, but he's obviously not the force that he was last season in the playoffs. He was borderline unstoppable.
You know, I didn't expect much out of him coming back off the injury because he spent a lot of time out. But I was surprised how much he was able to contribute. Now, his hands look like feet in that breakaway yesterday. That definitely is not there. But,
yeah,
you know, his overall game was pretty impressive considering he hasn't really played that much. I don't think you're going to see the guy who was practically unstoppable in that Boston series last year, that one game. But I think you're going to see, you know, maybe 80-90%, which, you know, given he's not a first-line player, that's probably going to be good enough.
Even if who do you take out of that first line to substitute JVR? What's he playing on, the second line? Third line?
He is playing with Briere, yeah.
So he's a second liner.
Yeah.
He was on the ice for the game winner.
He was a plus three yesterday.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Flyers coming out, I don't want to say soft, but, you know, obviously not getting back into the swing of things. They got outshot 15-6 in that first period. And for them to only be down 1-0 after the first period, I think is kind of a blessing in disguise, I suppose. And wound up winning the overall shots on goal battle by 10 in the end, because they totally dominated that third period in shots. But you know, the Flyers coming off that layoff and putting together a half decent performance and getting the game winner from Briere. Actually, Briere actually had a hat trick, but they called one of them back. If you really want to look at it that way. His first goal was kicked in, and
it was
glaringly obvious.
And he said so afterwards. So I think at the time he was hopeful that it was a game winner. But and afterwards in the interviews, he said that when he saw it, he knew.
10 years ago, that would have been a goal.
Yeah,
but now
right
that they have the instant replay, there's really no hiding disallowed goals anymore. There, you really can't get around kicking the puck in, and you know, the whole Brett Hull with the skate crease thing,
yeah.
I'm sure.
I remember that one.
Ugh, I felt so bad for Dominic Hasek.
That was a little grayer, though. That, I mean, Briere's was cut and dry. Hull's is a little grayer.
Quite. I remember that. And I remember that they had already brought the cup out and everything like that. And then I think it was Bill Clement and Gary Thorne were saying, we're going to get a look at this here. And it appears that Brett Hull's skate was in the crease. And I'm like, oh, my God. How do you bring that up? But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. This is a new era of the NHL, where and basically any sport, where everything's pretty much under the microscope now.
They do it right. They do it where it's really important. They get it done quickly, I think, for the most part. And I'd say 99% of the time they get it right.
Yeah, and
so
it's a tough
effective call.
Yeah. It's a tough job to do, too. I mean, send it up to the war room in Toronto there. But they did obviously get the initial goal. It was only about, 3 or 4 minutes into that overtime. Both teams going back and forth in that overtime period. just trading shots and trading chances on goal. And then Briere gets that one in that gets called back, and then he gets to redeem himself like two shifts later.
Yeah.
And puts
next
it in the
shift,
back.
Right?
Yep, next shift, and puts it in the net, and Flyers are up very, very comfortably, I think, in that game. Obviously, winning 4-3, I think they're up. We mentioned this in our predictions segment from last Friday. I don't know if everybody got a chance to take a listen. We'll post that on our website at Sterling High School website under podcast on the left hand side. If you want to take a listen to that little piece, I had the Devils losing in five, and I still don't think the Philadelphia Flyers will drop any more than one game to the Devils. I just don't see it.
The way I look at it, I know we haven't talked about this yet, but I think goaltending-wise, they didn't get much out of Brizgalov at all in the second and third period.
That's because they had a total of seven shots on net in two periods.
And he didn't look good on any of them. But that being said, if he can't play worse than that. So if he plays half decent through this series, there's not going to be much offense out of the Devils at all.
And who's really going to carry the offense there? You can only get so much out of Zach Parise.
Yeah,
and Peter Sikora had a gift wrapped. He might as well just taken the puck and thrown it into the net.
Zajac's the only one consistently getting some points on that team, and even he's a minus one. So,
Kovalchuk a minus two yesterday, as well as Andy Green, and that was it. Everybody else is either a plus one or a even or a minus one. So, Zach Parise obviously the star with a goal and a helper, but it wasn't enough to propel the Devils, and you had to think that the Devils had their opportunity in that overtime period right after Briere's goal got called off.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great opportunity, but wasn't able to put it in the net, and subsequently Flyers turn around and just score right off the bat. It's amazing how in overtime all these, and I think I mentioned this last week, I want to know what percentage of games
end within the first five to ten minutes
of overtime or less.
Yeah, once you hit that 10-minute mark, it seems like teams just kind of sit back and the adrenaline's gone and they're a little more plotting. Yeah,
waiting for somebody to make a mistake.
Exactly. And I think you saw that in the game seven of the Devils' previous round.
Was that Florida?
Yeah.
True. We're going to talk about the three Bs here. Briere, Briz, and Brodeur. Because I think those are the three big...
Three big names in that game yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Briere, obviously, we just spoke about, speaks for itself. Two goals, and he just seems to show up in the playoffs. call it luck, call it whatever you want to call it, but it just really seems like Briere turns into that guy playoff time.
It was funny that one of the announcers were talking about the signing of Briere at the time, and a lot of people were poo-pooing the signing, saying, they overpaid for Briere. He's not that kind of player. And, if you look at his season production, not that it's awful, but he's not a top-notch scorer. But if you look at what he's done in the playoffs, he's worth every penny.
You get him to the dance, and you never know what he can do.
Exactly. And he did it in previous years for them as well. So,
and speaking of people that deserve a lot of money, or got paid a lot of money anyway, Ilya Bezgalov and his... I don't want to say it was a stellar performance. I mean, he made some pretty good saves yesterday.
He did,
but a lot of the ones that he let in were kind of routine.
Yeah.
More notably, the Peter Sikora. And this is me coming from, sitting at my desk and, being a hockey commentator, I guess, so to speak. I wouldn't want to get between the pipes and stop 90-mile-an-hour slap shots. But you look at Brizgalov making some pretty good saves and then some not so good saves.
Yeah,
so
that's been him through the season. So, it's a give and take with him, except for the month of March when he was just on a tear. That's kind of been his MO throughout the season.
It'll be interesting to see how Briz pans out for the rest of the year or rest of the playoffs. And if do you honestly think the Devils can get back in this series?
No, I just didn't. The one thing I look at is the Devils to a man, the coaches and all kept saying, well, we need to play the way we played in the first period. And I thought, I don't think it was them playing a certain way in that period one. I think it was the Flyers just not showing up in period one. And the Flyers show up like they did in the second and third period. The Devils don't have a prayer.
Yeah.
They just don't have the firepower.
And I spoke to you about this morning during our first – when I saw you this morning. And it was just one of those things where when Brodeur comes out of the net, it, it it was a great move. Brodeur's arguably, in my opinion, the best goaltender ever to ever play between the pipes. Statistically, he's, you would love him or hate him, you got to respect his numbers.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against the numbers.
Yeah, you can't really argue. I mean, there's only a couple playoff and regular season numbers that he does not own next to Patrick Waugh or Terry Sawchuk. And let's be honest. When he first came in the league, he was known as a puck-handling goaltender. Loves to go, and that's how that whole trapezoid rule behind the net came up because of Martin Brodeur. He wound up being a third defenseman there, which is awesome. It's, you got to have done something cool if they're –
They're making
rules in every single NHL and AHL and I don't know whether junior leagues. They're putting these rules into play because of you and what you've done to change the game. But yesterday in the game where I believe it was the third goal or I forget which goal it was that turned into the turnover that
it was the second goal.
The second goal.
Yes.
Which
came pretty quickly after the first one.
Right. Puck goes behind the net. Brodeur stops it, and instead of shooting it up the far or the near side glass, decides to go up the middle of the ice. Gets intercepted by
a rookie,
shockingly for the Flyers. Another rookie makes his mark. Goes right to his tape.
Makes a save.
Gus is in, so Brodeur's got a jet back in net and makes some acrobatic, crazy leg whip save. But the rebound bounces right out to JVR, and JVR just kind of
he roofed it.
Roofed it, and he did his job. So my point is, Brodeur, really, what are you doing, dude? I know that's what you're used to. I know you're this is what you're used to. I get it. I understand it. But you've been in the league 20 years. People have the scouting report on you, buddy. Guess what? They know you like to fire the puck, and they know you like to make plays and get assists on and create scoring opportunities. I understand that. You can't do that in the playoffs. That guy makes me nervous every time he touches the puck.
I think that's more a symptom of his confidence on with the players around him. You know, I think feeling like he has to make a play and he has to push the puck up the ice to get the offense going. I think if he was really confident in his defense or in the breakout of the Jersey Devils, he would just push it aside and let them go. So I think that might be a little bit of a little bit of second guessing on him, and the other part of that is if you look at Brodeur's save percentage for the playoffs, it is not fantastic. Trying to look at what it is hit right here, he's up to a 917, but he was below 9 at one point in the beginning of the playoffs. You know, compared to Brzgalov, it's tremendous, but he's right in the middle of the pack in the playoffs. He's, you know, 10th in save percentage, so that's it's not.
I just
it's not great numbers.
I'd love to get a Devils fan on who understands the team as big, you know, a fan, so to speak. And would love to hear what they were thinking during that every time he comes out. And he did it a lot yesterday. I don't think even in the Florida series, I don't think I saw him.
No, I don't remember him doing that in Florida.
And I'm
much.
Trying to figure out what are you thinking here? You had an opportunity to steal a game and turn home ice advantage back over to the to your own team. And you're playing with the puck. I mean, it's one thing you shoot up the side, it gets intercepted, you have more time to get it back.
Right.
You passed it right up the middle.
Yeah, and the guy's going full boat right straight at you.
Oh, my God. Whatever. But that's how he plays. That's how Brodeur plays. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, so I'm not going to knock him. But I just, being a fan, I was just kind of, not a fan of the Devils. I just like hockey as a whole, but I'm just trying to think, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Are you trying to put your team in a hole? That a team that doesn't score a lot of goals to begin with? Trying to put them in a hole here? I mean, they played Philly pretty tough yesterday. That's probably the toughest test that they've had though, so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, they really kept the Flyers from finding open space like they were used to against the Penguins. They were a lot of times turning the puck over neutral zone or just dumping in and not being able to make a play on the chase. I think that took the Flyers a while to figure out what their game had to be in order to play well. But they definitely stymied them on offense for a good part of the first half of the game, even so into the second period.
And our final B, well, that's all three. Yeah. Briere, Briz, Brodeur.
Yeah.
So game two, looking ahead to game two, which is going to be, I believe, tomorrow night.
Yes.
At the Wells Fargo Center. 7:30.
7:30, correct.
7:30 start on the NBC family of networks. And you're going to get Doc Emmerich, which should be, which is always a treat because he treats every shot on goal like it's the game-winning Cup. I love that guy. Guy's great. I really miss Gary Thorne.
Yeah.
Because but I think he's contracted through ESPN, and I don't think he's going to be doing any NBC games.
Well, that's true. He was big. He was the big name when ESPN.
Because he does the NCAA Frozen Four.
Right.
With Barry Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that you're going to see my boy Gary Thorne on any ESPN broadcasts or on NBC broadcasts, rather. But game two, can the Devils come back and go back to the swamp? Even though it's a new arena, it's still in the swamp of the Meadowlands, sort of. Can you make it a series here and go back tied 1-1?
I think it all comes down to goaltending with the Flyers.
It comes down to goaltending with the Devils, too.
Oh, that's true. I think he's been what he is. I think he hasn't been real high, and I think he hasn't been real low through every playoff game. So I think you're going to get it's like he's got a 2.28. I don't see him dropping much more than that, especially in this series with your Flyers. You know, your Flyers still scored four goals in a game. And during the regular season, that was the number. They scored four goals. They didn't lose many games. Last series, a little bit of an anomaly that they had to score eight goals a few times to win games. But
how many times in NHL playoff history do you have a team that scores 50 goals through six games anyway?
Not many. Not since
not one team, but two combined teams, obviously. Right.
So I think that if the Flyers continue to find the space and the offense at that pace, I can't see the Devils matching them in that way. The Devils got to grind it out. They got to get the sniper opportunities when they can with Eliash and Kovalchuk and Parise. Take advantage, mark the power play, which is their advantage, and take advantage of those opportunities and just rely on the defense to stymie Flyers. They're giving up 3-4 goals. They don't have much of a chance at all.
And Parise, 3 goals, 3 assists for 6 points. Even money on the plus minus. He's got a 3 points on the power play. So he's definitely the guy right now for them as he leads their team in points, I believe. Let's take a look at that.
Zajac has 7.
Zajac.
So 7. One more.
And Parise and Clarkson with 6. And the one person you don't really see much of on there, and that's you don't see Gianta.
No.
He's got 20, I don't know what's his average time, 7 minutes on the ice, not a whole heck of a lot of time for him. So,
well, you got Kovalchuk pulling 25 minutes a game. There's not much time for anybody else.
But look at Kovalchuk's plus minus. He's a minus 5.
Yeah. When you're on the ice that much, you can't be a minus 5. I think I think they have to kind of live and die with that situation. Even though he hasn't been, I mean he's in the leaders and he has 6 points, but he's not lighting it up.
And by the time the rebroadcast of this happens, which is tomorrow night at 6:00, we're just getting ready for game number 2. Do the Devils go down 0-2 back to the Rock Prudential Center?
I think they go down 0-2.
Are you saying this because you're a Flyers fan, or are you saying this because you're a realist?
No, I believe that's the analytical way to look at the way the game was. I think you don't see the Flyers at their best, and I don't think you can get much more out of the Devils. So I think home ice, they take 2-0. We'll see what happens when they go up to the
Which Newark. Game is the stinker game?
I think game 3. I think they go 2-0, they get, they get a little comfortable, they go up there, Devils fans, a little juice, they catch them off guard, lose a close game.
Brodeur steals one.
Stands on his head a little bit. Proverbial standing on your head.
Yes. I'd like to see a goalie stand on his head and make a save. Just in the literal sense of the word. And that will wrap it up for our first segment here. When we get back from our first break here, do a little bit of a change over to the other Eastern Conference matchup in the Rangers and Caps, which is a very interesting series. And also a new segment that John, you brought to light here, the X-Flyer Report. We're going to lead off with that right after this. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio, back with the Blue Line right after this.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars of Magnolia is actively looking for new members. The VFW is the official nonprofit service organization for U.S. military veterans, offering benefits, programs, and community service. For more information and eligibility on the Magnolia chapter of the VFW, please call 856-783-4353. Once again, 856-783-4353 or online at www.vfw.org.
And welcome back to the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco for our second segment here. We're going to kick it off with something new that John invented here, and it's brilliant. It's absolute brilliance on your part. You want to explain your little X-Flyer report here?
Yeah, so what I did is as I was watching the multitude of NHL playoff games on the family of NBC networks...
Nice.
Past 2 weeks, I noticed a lot of ex-Flyers that are in the playoffs. Start off with a total of 13. We're down to 9. Just to give you an idea of those ex-Flyers out there making their name and making a push in the playoffs, leading all point scorers is that Chris Vertigue with a total
of
3 goals and 2 assists. For
ex-Leaf, too. Ex-Blackhawk?
Yeah.
We had him for like a hot minute, and then we got rid of him to U.
And he did nothing on either team.
Yeah.
Then he went down to Florida and got inspired by the Rat, and he's leading that team there. And then we have the three-headed monster out west in the L.A. Kings. We have that Justin Williams, Mike Richards, and Jeff Carter. Combining for a total of 10 points from the three of them.
That's not bad.
No,
horrible, especially when they went up against a tough Vancouver team in the first round. Now,
Williams is only getting about 23 shifts a game, whereas Carter and Richards are more in the 22 to 24 range.
How ironic would it be in a weird, wacky NHL world if the Flyers make it the Stanley Cup, the Kings make it the Stanley Cup, and the winning goal in Game 7 in overtime scored by Mike Richards, assisted by Justin Williams and Jeff Carter. The ultimate on the Flyers' ice.
You know, I just thinking of that, you know those Verizon NHL commercials where the guy's
stuck
the
in the glass?
You know,
on the ice?
The first one they made that they showed this year was a Philly-LA commercial. Yeah, there's
that Ovechkin one,
too.
There's
the one with the Caps.
Sure.
If you, the very first one I saw, and they still show it, it's a Philly-LA matchup.
Wow, is that foreshadowing?
It might be a little foreshadowing.
I just have to ask the English department about this one.
and then we move down to those super hot Phoenix Coyotes with Damon Lankow with four helpers.
We'll be talking about them in our next segment.
Yep. On that team contributing. Now, he's... He's only getting about 16 minutes a game, but definitely not a special teams player, but he's getting some quality defensive line minutes and contributing 4 assists there. Scotty Upshaw was there until he got recently eliminated by the Devils. Doing well. And then, we have Dainis Zubrus.
Ah, yes.
Across the ice right now. He's got
Dainis.
2 points and even right now. Getting about 25 shifts a game, though. He's getting a regular shift. So we have a multitude of wingers and, or I should say, multitude of forwards. The lone defenseman in this list is Dennis Seidenberg, who is no longer playing. And we have zero goaltenders, unless you want to count Ron Hextall as the president of the LA Kings.
Well, you could go there.
But that's about as close as we can get as goaltenders.
All right, so let's just say you're making a forward line. As it stands right now, who's your top three?
I say
I'd go Versteeg.
You go Versteeg?
I'd go Versteeg, Richards, and Upshaw.
Upshaw, huh?
Yeah.
You still got that Mike Knuble out there. He's a little bit of a grinder.
Is he good in the room?
He was good in the room here.
He was good. I think that they. I don't think the Flyers really wanted to let him go, but I think financially they had to make.
Yeah,
that
he made too much money. Plus, he was a veteran player,
and
to resign him when it took some money. He's actually met him. His daughter and my daughter were in the same dance class.
A few years back,
and he's a super nice guy.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I don't think they were happy to have to let him go. But
that's
that
the
was
business.
That's the business end of it.
It is what it is.
I would think I would go.
Who's your fantasy hockey?
The X-Flyer Report fantasy team.
The X-Flyer fantasy roster.
Yeah, I think you have to go Richards. I would go Richards and Williams with Versteeg. Go for the top three scorers.
I like that. That's strong.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who you forgot? Did you throw in a Rusty Fedotenko?
He's on the list. He's on the list. Yeah, he has a two helpers plus one.
That a boy.
So, yeah, he's on the list.
Nice.
The non-competing players we have left that we haven't talked about is that Richard Park, who actually had an assist in the first series. Michael Hanzus, who contributing a total of 4 shots for no points. And
He's older, though, isn't he, Hanzus?
I don't know how old he is. He's not getting a lot of ice time with San Jose when they were playing. I think his skills are diminished. He's up there. He was also a former King, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
And then at the bottom of the list, bottoming out with the one Aram Ashen, who's leading. The only stat he was leading is in penalty minutes for the total X Flyers
and suspensions.
Yes, correctly.
And now, I believe what does he have? 3 games to serve when he comes back next season.
Does he have that?
He had a 4 game.
Yeah, he had a
4 game, and that
no,
was
they
just
played
for,
2.
Did they play 2 without him?
Yeah, they played game 4 and game 5 without.
All right,
him.
So he still has to sit the first 2.
So he still has a couple games.
Not that he's like.
I don't think he's going to be on that team come next year, to be honest with you.
Well, if that's the case, does he just take a salary hit?
I don't know how that
works.
Let's
just say, for argument's sake, that he doesn't come back at all, and he goes through waivers and nobody signs him. Does that mean if somebody picks him up, like in, November, December, somebody picks him up?
Has to serve those games. I think he does. I think anyone who takes him has to know that he has to sit
the first 2 games
and be
on the roster.
Yeah. Take up a roster spot if you're willing to go that way.
Somebody will pick him up.
Yeah, somebody who's lacking in toughness that needs a fourth line player.
And I think one of the most exciting episodes that we'll do here on the Blue Line is going to be that free agency report, which always comes out once the Stanley Cup has been hoisted. It's always, hey, all right, how are we going to dismantle this team?
Yeah.
And the whole list comes up team by team by team.
We can do that in between probably the awards.
Yeah.
That'll happen over the summer, though, right?
That's fine. I'll come in here for an hour this summer. Why not?
We might have to do that one remotely by the end.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll have to.
We have the tools. We have the talent. moving right along, switching gears just a little bit, and heading over to the other Eastern Conference semifinal matchup in the Rangers and Caps. Rangers going 7 games against the Ottawa Senators in a very hard-fought, evenly matched battle that could have gone really either way, but when it came down to it, I think it comes down to what it always comes down to in the playoffs, and that's goaltending. There's no doubt in my mind that the Rangers have the best goaltender left in the playoffs, and you could say arguably Jonathan Quick is a real close second, very, very close second.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even throw in Mike Smith down in Phoenix too, and we'll get to that next segment. But right now the Rangers are up 1 game to none, with game 2 coming on tonight at 7:30. And That should be a great series, but I really don't think Washington can even hang with the Rangers at all. It's the two Eastern Conference series right now are kind of like you had all these great matchups in the first quarterfinal round, and now you're kind of taking like a little dip in this semifinal round, and I think it's going to go back up should the Flyers and Rangers both win. That's going to be a battle and a half for the conference final.
I think what you see is a product of the seeding system from the first round. What happened is you have the best teams like the Flyers and the Penguins in the 4 and 5 seat because of the division finishes. So you wound up with some good matchups in that first round. Now that you reseed, you really see the discrepancy, and especially with the Caps upsetting Boston. You know, you see the difference in quality of teams there. And matchups aren't as good, I think, in this round.
I think it's just luck of the draw.
You know what? I think it's like we talked about before about matchups.
Should the Rangers have played the Flyers in the second round? You know what I mean? Like, then you have a Washington, New Jersey, which is kind of the matchup of two mediocre teams.
Yeah. But then you have a mediocre team playing in a division final. Yeah, I don't think they want that. I think you want the best two teams playing in the division final.
So of the four teams that are left, the Flyers and the Rangers are the two best teams.
Oh, absolutely.
I absolutely would
There's
agree
no
with
doubt
that 100%.
About that. And I don't think you'll find anybody to tell you, unless they live in Washington or New Jersey, tell you otherwise.
Do you like no-hitters in baseball?
No.
Do you like pitcher's duels?
Only if it's the Phillies. Don't really like a pitcher's duel even if it is a Phillies game, because that
what
means
if
our team
what if it's a
hitting.
Playoff, like, 1-0 or 2-0 game?
I think that's not as bad, because the playoff, you're watching every pitch, every out. You're micro-analyzing everything.
Pitch location.
Yeah, so
pitch count.
When you get into that in a playoff game, it's not so hard to take. But when you're in game 30 of 162, you don't want to see a no-hit game or a one-hit game. You want to see a 5-0 game.
So the reason I ask this, looking at the shots on goal total in game one between the Rangers and the Caps, shots by period for Washington, 6, 7, 5 for a total, if you're scoring at home, of 18. The Rangers, 4, 4, and a touchdown and a missed extra point for a total of 14.
Yeah, that's not good offensive hockey.
It's really, really not. Now, you have to think those two Rangers, two of the 6 shots on goal for the Rangers in the third period wound up in the back of the net. So you're looking at, there was a point in time where, and they didn't score the go-ahead goal until probably midway through the third, I believe. Let me just take a look. Yeah, it was almost midway through the third. You were looking at 12 total shots on goal through the game. Now, that to me looks that's either really good defense or it's just really boring hockey. And I can't see either one of those teams. And we mentioned this last week and weeks prior that the Caps have changed up their system under Dale Hunter quite a bit from the run and gun 40 shots on goal. How many points can we get Ovechkin, Semin, and Backstrom?
Right.
You know, how many points can we get? How many times can we get these guys on the score sheet kind of thing? Now they've slowed things down. We saw it in the Boston series. We're seeing it now in the Rangers series. They're slowing it down.
Yeah.
They're playing some D.
I think Washington has to play that way because that's the only way they can win. I think the Rangers are used to playing games like good teams that way. They seem to play teams the same way. They look lost or they look beaten. They look outmatched from time to time, with Lundqvist and some good defense, they kind of hang in there. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're up 2 goals. And now the other team's panicked, and they just lock it down. You know, and especially with Lundqvist back there, they just lock it down. So that's been their MO all season. I don't think they mind playing that way. I think Washington has to play it that way. But playing it that way, Semin and Ovechkin and Backstrom just can't wind it up and start, you know, firing pucks at the net.
And the big story for the Rangers, obviously, right now is getting their left wing, Chris Kreider, back. And he came out of nowhere. He's drafted by the Rangers in 2009 and comes in and just putting points at. He's a rookie. Mm. He's playing for BC last year.
Yep.
Where he had 45 points, by the way. Comes in, scores, had a goal and a helper in a conference semifinal game. He's got two goals, an assist for 3 points. He's a plus two. And he's been a humongous addition for them so far. 20-year-old guy, 6'3", 230. And he's getting some ice time. And as well, he should.
Yeah.
Especially if he's putting the puck in there. He's bringing some of that energy to the game. You know, he's bringing it.
Yeah, and Rangers have their normal firepower, if you want to call it that, has been missing in action since the playoffs started. So they need offense wherever they can get it. So he's been a godsend for them.
Brad Richards gets on the board. Artem Anisimov also gets on the board in that game. The only person scoring a goal for the Caps on a beautiful goal at the end of the second period was Jason Chimera. One of my favorite names in hockey, by the way. He had a nice, really nice feed from Brooks Lake.
That was a beautiful pass.
That was beautiful. And Lundqvist had no chance on it. It was like a bouncing puck, and he just kind of took like a little nine iron and just kind of knocked it between the pads of Lundqvist.
He floated it and just landed right in front of him and just redirected it.
Unbelievable.
Right past
Lundqvist. But obviously the story is Lundqvist, and he is just – he's unbelievable still, shocking. A 945 playoff – or save percentage – and a 1.62 goals against average so far in the playoffs. And who's going to stop this guy? If you get three on this guy, you better hope that you win the game.
Yeah.
You better hope the defense lets the other team score two.
Yeah.
Because they're coming at a premium when you try and get one past Henrik Lundqvist.
And it's funny. It's we talked about the wealth of goaltending going into the second round, and it seems – that has kind of shaken itself out, where the real excellent goaltending has stayed at the top, and everyone else is kind of falling. We see the falling of Holtby, and even though Mike Smith is playing well, his numbers aren't what they were from the beginning. And Pekarinen is just—I don't know what's happened to him.
Something happened to him last night. We'll get to that in the next segment. But Marian Gaborik, still waiting for him to kind of show up a little bit. He's got a goal and
he's the
three helpers.
He's Danny Briere.
Yeah.
He disappears every playoffs.
Brad Richards. My man's got over 23 minutes of ice time on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three goals, three assists for 6 points. He's a minus one and four power play points. This is what they signed the guy to do. That's why they gave him the big money. 5 points in his last five games, and this Ranger signed him to a 9-year contract over the summer. He was probably the big guy.
Right.
The big splash over the offseason across the NHL is, where's Brad Richards going to go? Lands in, of all places, New York, and he seems to be the straw that stirs the drink there. He was that missing piece that they had. You don't have Brad Richards. Do you really have that strong of a team? Do you have that strong of a room? You're bringing a guy in who won a Stanley Cup with Tampa back in 2004, bringing him in, and he's just been phenomenal for them. And should they advance to the conference final or even the Stanley Cup final, you definitely got your money's worth out of him.
Yeah. I mean, you can't buy that type of experience and leadership that Richards brings to that team, because there's not a lot of experienced playoff players on that team, I think. So to be in the situation that they're in and have them leading them is exactly where they want to be. It's a good balance on that team of young and veteran players.
And with the Caps, you look at Braden Holtby, had a really shaky game on Saturday. We'll see if he can redeem himself tonight as they get ready to play game two tonight, starting at 7:30. And you look at some of the people who are hot and who's cold on this for both teams. And you got to look at the Caps. Jason Chimera, obviously 3 points through his last three games. Who's cold? Alexander Semin. And we talked about this right before we went on air. And he is pointless in his last three games. And you have some updates on him.
Yeah, the word at practice is that he was skating with the fourth line in practice. So that's either going to be a wake-up call for him. We'll see how long he stays on that fourth line tonight in the game, whether it's going to be a wake-up call for him or whether he sulks and you know, when you're in the fourth line, you don't have as many opportunities to make the kind of mistakes he made in that last game. So hopefully that'll wake him up a little bit and he can move back up on the power play or move back up to a different line combination. So we'll see.
For the Rangers, Derek Stepan, the center winger, 5 points in his last three games. Obviously, Lundqvist hot, Brad Richards hot, and Mark Stahl, 2 points in his last three. There are not a lot of cold people on the Rangers, if you other than Gabrick, who is and Anisimov, who only has 1 point in his last six games. But a notable injury for the Rangers right now, Brandon Dubinsky is day-to-day with a leg injury, so we don't know if he's going to play tonight. Brian Boyle.
Boyle is
he's concussion.
Still questionable, right?
Yeah, he's a day-to-day with a concussion. Haven't gotten any updates in terms of whether or not Boyle is going to play or Doobie's going to play tonight. We don't know. But some other updates across the league still has to do with the Rangers a little bit. Just announced the Adams Award finalist for the Coach of the Year. John Tortorella is one of three coaches. Ken Hitchcock of the Blues and Paul McLean of the Senators, the other two. Up for Adams Award finalists for the Coach of the Year, and deservedly so for all three of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you had a reshuffling in New York. You have Hitch doing what he does, taking young guys and having them overachieve, and with no big names on that team. And then you have McLean, who's I think we talked about his demeanor. He just doesn't look like a hockey coach. But
no, he really doesn't.
He does.
Is it the mustache?
Yeah, I think it's the mustache.
Is it just the mustache?
Maybe it's the wardrobe, too. But, you know, he's had a lot of young players jump up and play well. He's had the best offensive defenseman this year in Carlson. Big buildup of the All-Star game this year. I think there's a lot of excitement in Ottawa that kind of carried them through. I think they sputtered in a few places. But they definitely had a good showing in the playoffs going in against the Rangers. Just not enough there.
Ottawa really came out. We're going to talk about a segment real quick in our next segment about the experts' predictions and where they stand up now. And that should be very interesting to see. And I know I was reading it. Now, this is what we call a tease in the business. Stay tuned to hear this and then go back and see where everything is now. A lot of people forget who predicted what. They're worried about the current predictions, playoff predictions. Well, where were you in late September, early October when the season started?
Right.
It'd be interesting to see how it all pans out. So we'll take a look at that in our next segment. We will get off to a very quick break. When we get back from the break, again, we're going to get to that the Hockey News predictions recap. And we'll also talk some Western Conference hockey. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back right after this. The Stratford Fire Company is looking for students who are interested in joining their junior member program. The junior member eligibility ages range from 16 to 18 years old. If you are interested or need additional information, please contact Chief Gagliardi at 856-783-1649. Please leave a message with your name and telephone number or stop by the fire station located on Laurel Road in Stratford to pick up an application. You can also visit their website at www.stratfordfire.com.
Here we go. Come join the local youth every Sunday night at Stratford United Methodist Church on the corner of Union and Central Avenues. The youth group is a rapidly growing group, and they would love to have you. The group consists of 7th to 12th graders and meets every Sunday night from 7 to 9 at the church. Come join us weekly for crazy games, live music, biblical life lessons, and some great snacks. Join now so you don't miss out on upcoming camping trips, scavenger hunts, swim parties, and more. For more information, contact Stratford Church at 784-9135 or Jared Claiborne at 856-287-0717.
And welcome back to WSHS Sterling High School Radio, The Blue Line, and Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco. We're going to turn it up a little bit and change it over to the Western Conference now. And the semifinal matchups are already set. We're already one game deep, almost about to be two games deep in one of the series in St. Louis and L.A. But the big story right now, at least the more recent story anyway, is the rather odd matchup in the West of Nashville in Phoenix for the first two games. And Phoenix was able to steal game one. And you have to think that Nashville would bounce back. Not so much. Phoenix all over Nashville on Sunday night late, winning 5-3. So now the series shifts back to Nashville. And Nashville, a lot of people had them as a coming out of the West as a favorite, is now in a hole 0-2, but they're going back home.
Yeah, and this is the only series that we have been completely wrong on, where I think we both picked Nashville to go
sure
in a long series, but and not that can't happen, but I don't think we expected Phoenix to be as dominant as they are, both coming off the, especially them coming off the long, tiring, overtime-filled series that they had with Chicago. Goaltending, you know, Smith is still there. He's the most peppered goaltender in the playoffs.
Do you think he's the Tim Thomas of this year's playoffs?
I don't know.
That comes out of nowhere. And let's be honest, 3 years ago, if I said, we're doing a hockey draft, who are you taking as your number one goaltender? I have the fifth pick. I'm going to take Tim Thomas. What?
Does he even start?
Be like, hey, thanks for that. Thank you. I'll take the next pick, and I'll take Roberto Luongo. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then Tim Thomas comes out and has a banner year, leads his team to the Stanley Cup, lifts the Stanley Cup, and everybody's like, oh, Tim Thomas. Did you know who Tim Thomas was 2 years ago? No, he backed up Tuukka Rask.
Right.
And there was that whole goaltending battle. Now, Mike Smith, is this his Tim Thomas moment?
I think it is. I think they're in comparable positions. I think he's been around enough to not to be rattled in certain situations. And he's playing a ton of minutes and making a ton of saves every night. And his numbers, 2.03 goals against in 8 games, 532 minutes on the ice. Far above. Now, granted, most of those are bolstered because of the overtime games, but you know, far above anybody. The only one the other one above 500 is Holpe, and I think that has taken a toll on Holpe. You see him kind of come back, but Smith has remained consistent, and I think whatever formula they got going through these playoffs in Phoenix. By the way, is the Phoenix Coyotes home crowd the lamest crowd you've ever seen in a hockey game? I've never seen a building so sedated for a first game of the playoffs. Still, it's the first game. You got everybody there with a white shirt on. Do something. I mean, they're winning, and you get a cheer on a goal, but I mean,
the whole whiteout thing and the whole stadiums in the playoffs, whether it's in basketball or hockey or any type of arena sport, that whole thing started in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It started with the Winnipeg Jets back in the 70s and 80s, and when they moved the franchise down to Phoenix, they brought it with them, and it started catching on. And now everybody's doing the Flyers do all the orange shirts, yeah. which looks really awesome, by the
way. Yeah, because no one else does that.
Colorado had it sort of in the 90s where they gave out like the white pom-poms, which when you have 18,000, 20,000 people waving the pom-poms,
looks
really, really cool. But it's Phoenix, and I don't think they have any pressure on them to perform well. And I said this when we started the Blue Line 4 weeks ago. I said, if Phoenix can go far in the playoffs, this will do wonders for their franchise. It will absolutely do wonders for their franchise. They're probably the next NHL team on the brink of being moved. If you look at the whole list of attendance and all the factors that come into play, you have to think that they're on the brink. You'd have to.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's the mentality like every game's a road game where you really don't have an advantage and as far as crowd noise. So I don't know. I find it odd, that whole setup of how, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen places where hockey just isn't – people don't play hockey. There'd be a little more – I mean, look at Tampa Bay. You can't say that about their crowd. And nobody's playing hockey in Tampa Bay, Florida.
John Zagone joining us now.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Flying in late.
Coming in late.
Like it.
It's okay.
You have a pass?
Drop in for 5-10 minutes.
Nice. I like it.
10-minute misconduct.
Nice. Got out of his that was a game misconduct. You were serving your penalty in the box.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome back.
I'm free.
Talking a little Western Conference, we're trying to figure out why the Phoenix Coyotes fans are so docile.
I don't think they know any better. I mean, it's not exactly hockey country down there. Hopefully this playoff run will get them into it, and unless they're moving to Quebec, it's, you know, that fan base better take to hockey or they're not going to be there much longer.
That's what I said minutes ago, and that's what I said 4 weeks ago. If they have a cup run, they may have kind of solidified their spot in Phoenix for a couple more years.
Well, if they sell the building out, I mean, if they make a cup run and the place is half empty, then you know it's never going to work there. So we'll know one way or the other.
True. We're also talking about Pekka Rinne and his performance last night, giving up 5 goals, losing 5-3. Now they're down. Definitely getting out-dueled by Mike Smith. And to kind of give everybody an idea of where Mike Smith came from, drafted by the Stars, the 5th round in 01, didn't really get a sniff to play with them until 06, 07, stayed with the Stars until 07, 08, then he went to Tampa for 4 or 5 years, and then Tampa let him go to Phoenix, and his regular season numbers were 38 wins, 18 losses, 10 overtime losses for a .221 and a .930 save percentage. My man even threw in 16 PIMs this season. I like
16.
It. 16. That's a couple fighting majors. That's probably a fighting and a game misconduct or something. I like it.
Fighting or a lot of
ankle
slashing.
A lot of ankle slashing or playing the puck outside of the trap as well.
That could be too. Yeah,
could be either one of those. But either way, definitely getting outdueled right now by Mike Smith. And again, could he be this year's Tim Thomas? We don't know yet, but. Definitely playing very, very well. .943 save percentage and a .203 goals against. The only person that's better than that, obviously, is Henrik Lundqvist.
Not Przygalov?
And Elliott.
No. Okay. We'll get to Quick in a minute.
Speaking of that, how about that for a storyline matchup in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, if it gets that far?
Were you listening to our broadcast?
Sure.
How did you do that?
How would that work?
And this is what I said. I said it's going to come down
you
to
you guys
game
are live.
Seven.
You didn't know that?
Oh, my God. This is fantastic. I said that it's going to come down to Game 7, and the game winner is going to go to Richards, assisted by Carter. And who is
Justin Williams?
And Justin Williams.
Okay.
That'd be strong.
Gagne be on the ice too at the time?
They might bring him back as
a scout.
I like it.
Hextall be jumping up and down.
Sure.
Press box.
So next game with this series, I believe, is when, John? I don't think that comes up until
Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When the shift's back to Nashville, a very tough place to play. And I know those fans are borderline insane over there. We'll see if we see the catfish on the ice again. That would be awesome to see.
I'm looking forward to that home game.
And I don't want to know what kind of dead animal they throw on the ice if Phoenix wins. I would rather not know. But that will be a very, very great game. The other game, which is tonight in the Western Conference semifinal matchup, is the Blues and the Kings. In Game 1, the Kings stole from St. Louis on St. Louis's ice. So Jonathan Quick, again, playing masterfully right now, and we're able to steal home ice advantage away from the Blues. But that game starts tonight at 9 o'clock on the NBC Family of Networks. So we'll see what happens.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, now you like that, huh?
We should be getting paid for those.
Yeah,
we should. St. Louis, Andy McDonald, 6 points in his last 4. Brian Elliott still playing very, very well for St. Louis. And you have to obviously look at Jonathan Quick. Jonathan Quick in his last 2 games, a .97 goals against average and a .964 save percentage.
He's on a roll right now. And
it's strong.
I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. I really like the Kings a lot in that series. Told you that last week. I think they win and move on to the Western Conference Finals, and that Flyers-Kings dream matchup could be happening. I just think that Quick is on a sensational roll right now that you only get, you know, like the Thomas role last year, but even better.
So who you got in the game tonight?
I think the Blues might win tonight to even that thing up. being that they're in home ice, they're not going to lose two straight at home. But I like the Kings in six or seven in that series.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah. I think with the goaltending that the Kings have, if Richards and Carter's line can find a way to start scoring some goals, they can take some teams out.
Jeff Carter, Mike Richards combined for 1 point in their last five games.
You mean Jeff Carter's disappeared in the playoffs? What a surprise. Wow, there's a... Whew. Never saw that coming.
No Gagne. He's on the injured reserve with a concussion. So you'd have to wonder when Carter and Richards. I think Mike Richards had a goal and a helper in that opening series. I believe it was game three against Vancouver, too, to go up 3-0 and put really the stranglehold
he had a goal in
on
game
the Canucks.
One too.
So he has been held pretty much scoreless in his last five games, but we'll see what happens when he comes back. Actually, that's just Carter and Richards, 1 point in their last five games. So it's only a matter of time before they start to light it up, too. But the LA Kings riding.
It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Carter's not going to light anything up.
Riding the goaltending of Jonathan Quick. And what would be a really great matchup in the, well, not for ratings purposes, but just for sheer goaltending purposes, is if you had a Jonathan Quick, Mike Smith goaltending matchup in the Western Conference Final. And it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think NBC would be mad with the LA market, Phoenix market. That's that's pretty big.
You'd lose anything east of there. Are you going to stay up till like 1 or 2 in the morning if it goes into overtime watching a Western Conference match?
Unfortunately for the people in the West, those games will start 5 o'clock local. They'll start 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So those games won't be
9 o'clock is manageable here.
They're not going to start a conference.
They're
going
to have to start by
9
here.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to lose 75% of the country's viewing.
Or they'll do it 8:30, where it really starts at like 15-20 minutes later, so close to 9, something like that.
Yeah, my guess is it'll be 8 o'clock start, and they'll start at about 8:20.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Very bold.
That'd be watchable.
I would totally watchable. Again, if you like no hitters and pitcher's duels, sure. One of the funnier things that I busted out an old edition of the Hockey News, and it was their yearbook where they have the expert regular season and Stanley Cup predictions. And just to kind of, John, I'll let you look at this earlier. Here's the Hockey News predictions forecast for the 2011-2012 season. Ready for this? Here's in order. Washington winning the East, or winning the Eastern Conference, followed by Pittsburgh, Boston, Philly, Buffalo, Tampa, Rangers, and Montreal. So here's who is a current playoff team that was left out of the fold. Florida and Ottawa, which were picked second and last.
I think most people had that, especially Ottawa. Some people may have had Florida making the playoffs, but nobody picked Ottawa to make the playoffs.
And Buffalo just missed the playoffs. They had them in here as a 5 seed.
Montreal, I think the biggest surprise is having Montreal as a playoff team. That was wishful thinking.
It's the mecca of hockey.
Yeah.
They're like the Yankees of hockey.
Yeah, but they're not playing like the Yankees.
No, they're not. I believe, if I remember correctly, they did finish
Yankees are there
dead
every
last.
Year. Yeah, the Yankees aren't finishing dead last.
True. Montreal Canadiens did finish last in the league. The Islanders did not.
That's unbelievable.
So flipping
really
over,
is.
I find that kind of funny. They also have the Caps winning the Cup.
Still could happen.
Technically, it still could happen.
Yes. Unlikely. But.
Unlikely, but it could happen. Here, switching over to the Western Conference. Vancouver, check. See how good they were. Vancouver, San Jose, Chicago, L.A., who is an 8 seed, Detroit, Anaheim, St. Louis, Nashville are your top 8.
So the only one they missed was Anaheim, right?
Yeah, they screwed up Anaheim and sub out Anaheim for Phoenix.
And that was it.
And put Phoenix in the fold.
Which I believe Phoenix only beat Anaheim by 6 or 7 points, if I can remember correctly.
Phoenix finished with 97. Anaheim finished with 80.
Oh, they must have struggled down the stretch because they were right in it for a while.
Your bottom nine, or your bottom half of the conference as it's at the end of the regular season, was Calgary, Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota, Anaheim, Edmonton, and Columbus.
Because right at the trade deadline, they were thinking about buying, and whether or not they were going to trade Bobby Ryan, and they said, no, we're going to go for it here. And they must have really fell apart down the stretch.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise. So I just thought that was kind of a compelling article. They also have the Chicago Blackhawks as the Stanley Cup finalists. So they had a Chicago-Washington who would have really thought in the West that your top four teams that would be left come May 1st would be St. Louis, Phoenix, Nashville. I think Nashville was probably one that you would have thought would be in the fold. And
the Kings.
And the Kings.
Mm,
hello. Which is why the NHL playoffs are awesome.
Yep.
That is, that is an absolute foregone conclusion. That is fact right there. We're going to get off to a very quick break. Get back from the break. We'll close it out. We're going to do our goal horn segment, which you missed last week, John, but you'll really enjoy this little segment that we do here. And we'll close it out. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back right after this.
If you have cancer, you know someone with cancer, or if you are a caregiver to someone with cancer, Clementine Cancer Support Group may be the place for you to come and share with others and learn how they are handling this life-changing experience. They meet the first Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. at the Laurel Hill Bible Church, located at 1260 Blackwood Clementine Road in Clementine, New Jersey. For more information, visit laurelhillbiblechurch.org or call the church office at 856-784-6200.
Are you interested in politics? Do you want to get more involved in making a difference in your community? Would you like to help work the polls in the next election? Then the Stratford Democrat Club is for you. The Stratford Democrat Club is looking for new members. Meetings are on the first Monday of each month, starting at 7 p.m. For more information, contact Terry Armbruster at 856-783-5952 or Tom Scott at 856-627-8275.
And welcome back to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss and John Flacco. The other John, as quick as he came in, is now gone again. That's how he rolls.
It's a busy man.
Very, very busy man. But we'd like to thank John for joining us for a couple minutes and sharing his hockey knowledge, which is always insightful and sage-like. Just to give everybody a quick update on what's going on, some new developments here on Sterling High School Radio. All the old editions of The Blue Line are now archived on the Sterling High School website. If you go to the Sterling High School website and you scroll down the left-hand side where you would click to listen to Sterling High School Radio, you'll see a little area there for archived podcasts. You can just click on that. You can listen to really any podcast that we've done here. So they're really listenable anytime. So if you can't catch our broadcast, which is going to be tonight, Monday night at 6 o'clock, the rebroadcast of this edition of The Blue Line will also air Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. So if you missed it, you can always catch it later on. Throw it on your iPod and then listen to it while you're running or doing yard work or doing whatever you do.
Cutting the grass, sure.
So,
a little weed whacking?
Sure. And it is that time of year.
Yes, absolutely. Been out there already numerous times.
It's craziness out there. But at any rate, again, all the podcasts all listed on there. And if you guys have any questions, is there anything you want us to discuss, you have a question for our expert panel, which is me and you, feel free to drop
us. And John,
when he shows up. When he might be able to show up and answer a few questions. You can drop us an email at wshs.radio@gmail.com. That's wshs.radio@gmail.com. I'll get my own email address right someday.
I know what you're all thinking out there. You're thinking, they probably get so many emails, we'll never get to mine. Don't think that. Send your email in. We'll read them all.
We will read them all in the mail. We'll even have a mailbag segment.
There you go.
Which would be nice. So if there's anything that we missed, any errors, corrections, whatever, anything you want us to talk about, we will definitely bring it up. wshs.radio@gmail.com. And another segment that we did last week, we did a little goal horn segment. And which I thought was kind of fun. We said, name that goal horn. And nobody got it.
No.
Should we give it away or should we just kind of archive it?
Let's just archive it. Maybe we can come back to it.
So just for fun.
Should we give a hint about this week or
if we give the obvious hint, then it's just going to be, I don't know. It's one of the NHL teams. Okay. That's the hint. How about that?
That narrows it down to.
And narrows it down. Here's your goal horn of the week right here. It's a good one. Who knows it?
I know what you're thinking. I know it. I know it. Hang in there.
This is the biggest hint you could possibly give. That's the biggest hint I can give you.
I know you know it. Go, Dan. Go to your computer. Go to your smartphone. Send us an email.
Yep.
Tell us what it is. You too could be part of the Blue Line Blah podcast next week.
But only if you email us.
Yes.
WSHS.radio@gmail.com. By the time we do our next podcast, which will be next Monday night, it'll be May, and we'll be – some of these conference matchups may be over.
Could be. We've got all one-sided so far. There's no ties yet, so either all 1-0 or 2-0, so they could go that way. We hope not, though, because we want to see good hockey in the playoffs. So, you know, keep an eye out there. Definitely listen up. Go back and listen to those old podcasts. Catch up with the Blue Line. Follow us as we move through the playoffs. And
I want to go back and listen to some of our old stuff. Like our very first predictions. Yeah, like 3 weeks ago.
Well, I wrote down our first predictions, and I had 3 of the series right. You had 4.
Winning.
So you have the lead, but considering I think we all have the same teams.
We have the same teams, I think.
It's not going to change dramatically.
I think you had the Flyers in.
We'll have to go by how close we are to the number for this round.
Yeah.
Who does better. I had the Flyers in 6.
So you had the Flyers in
you had
5.
Right. You went 5. I went 6.
And I think I had Rangers in 6, I believe, for this for the other Eastern Conference.
I wrote them down.
We'll go back and check them, and I'm sure we'll revisit them and kind of poke fun at each other for the number of games.
I think we might be eating crow with it down in Phoenix, though.
I think we may
be. Could be. We'll see what happens when they get back to Nashville.
Yep, and our next broadcast, again, will be next Monday night, and again, all the podcasts air Monday nights at 6, and then the rebroadcast Tuesday nights at 6. John, as always, thank you very much for taking some time
always
out and joining us on the Blue Line. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email. That's going to do it for this edition of the Blue Line. Make sure you stay tuned into WSHS Sterling High School Radio for some great music and some great programming. And we will catch you next week right here on the Blue Line. For John Flacco, I'm Rob Strauss. We'll see you next week.